that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, June 18th. Hey, we're back from Branson. And getting things unloaded, getting settled in back at the ranch, and a couple of us still traveling, but got a couple guests this morning. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Nick from Illinois. Good morning, Nick. I think we do anyway.
I don't hear him.
I don't hear Brother Nick. Are you there?
Well,
yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, there we go. Oh. All right. There's a little delay when we go through this, just on the, we call it the bridge. It's a little system set up. Some company does it, and where we can call in and all be on the same line here and then get it out over the radio. But, yeah, Jason is still traveling, and John's out of town this weekend. So, guys, I sure appreciate y'all getting up and joining me this morning. Because I sure don't have an hour's worth of stuff to rattle on about.
I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
Great. Well, Leon, why don't you open us up with a word of prayer? And then that's kind of the way coffee goes. We open it with prayer, and where it goes from there, who knows? But we know where to start.
You bet, brother. Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, our wonderful Creator, you are awesome. You are the Almighty, the Everlasting, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, our Lord Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as men that are fervently trying to have that closer walk with you, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we ask you, please, let your Holy Spirit come and come upon us more. Let the words that come from our mouths, let them be from your mouth, Lord. We ask, Lord, to that you put that full armor of God onto us this morning.
Yes.
The belt of truth, the feet for the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the cloak of zeal, and pick up that shield of faith and the sword of the Lord. Lord, you're awesome and mighty and wonderful. You deserve all praise and all honor and all glory. In that mighty name of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And, men, we'd send a prayer, urgent prayer request out. Our brother Todd that helps us make these things possible. He's puts us up on the internet and streams us out to the satellite, and which allows the shortwave station to get our signal. It was his wife, Dawn, that had to go to the hospital yesterday, and he did give me an update. They're admitting her, and she's got some circulation problems, and we prayed yesterday, but let's pray for her again. And then also our brother Greg that left Branson last week, he had broke down, and I haven't heard an update, but we sure prayed for him yesterday and prayed believing that they'd get back on the road and get home safe. So, well, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, and we continue to lift, Lord, our petitions up to you, our requests, our desires. Lord, we know that you know them before we even ask, but you also tell us to do that, to bring our petitions to you. So, Lord, we thank you for Greg and his family that we got to visit with in Branson, and Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for him yesterday, and just pray that you got him home. And that, Lord, you, whatever the vehicle problem was, you just get it fixed and just make a way for them, Lord. And let it be let it have been a good experience for them. And Lord, we remember Romans 8:28. You do work all things out for good for those that love you. And, Lord, we know that this family sure loves you and serves you and honors you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we lift Dawn up to you, Father. Todd's wife of many years, Lord, they know you, they love you, and I know you know them as well, Father. And Lord, don't exactly know what the problem is, but whatever it is, poor circulation, Lord, doesn't matter what it is, Lord. We lift her up to you for health and healing. And we look to you and we proclaim healing in the name of Jesus Christ on Todd's wife, Dawn. And Lord, poor circulation is nothing for you to fix, Lord. We know you. You are the Creator, Lord. And we know you have healed. You have healed the lame, Lord, that never walked for 30, 40 years, Lord. You've healed the blind that had never seen. Lord, you've raised the dead. And they certainly had poor circulation, Lord. And so it's nothing for you to heal this poor circulation. And that's our request, Lord. We claim it in the name of Jesus Christ and to your glory. Lord, let the doctors there be amazed. Let them just scratch their heads and wonder and say, well, this can't be explained physically, but Don, you're healed, go home. And Lord, that's our request. And that it be done to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, have a 91st day today after lunch. It's that time of the year again. Spring is ending. Summer is starting. And that's kind of what those 91st days are. You know, they were days, I think, that our Lord set apart for his people to recognize that it's God Almighty that changes the seasons. And it's another day to, and this year, or at least this one, falls on a Sabbath. And so we encourage you folks to, if you're not familiar with the 91st days, you can go to our website, scriptures4america.org, and you can... I think there's some information right there. We try to keep it up there where you can just take a look, and or you can write to us. We do have a 91st day packet. We'd be glad to mail it to you, and it just kind of explains it out. It's some of the pastor's writings and original teachings from back in 2001. And so we encourage you to do that. And in talking with the men, we thought, you know, I really thought a Branson review would be a good thing to talk about this morning, at least to start. Because I thought that it, I sure had a good time, and I thought it was a blessed event. You know, we'd called it as a solemn assembly, and I think it sure was that. But, you know, guys, I talked a little bit on Thursday night about it, just touched on it, And it seemed to me that there was a kind of an unplanned theme of forgiveness. Seemed to be a theme that kept running around in my mind. What do you think about that, Brother Nick? Did you see that as well, or something different?
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned that, and it seems as though a lot of the men at the men's meeting touched on that quite a bit through their testimonies, and it does seem to fit really with the main theme of the camp, and at least in regards to that's such a key to the healing. You know, we just prayed for these people. I noticed there's quite a few on the list yesterday, and you know, people are calling out for prayer for healing, and this forgiveness is such a key to it. You know, I know that's been touched on. He's a biggie, you know, for our healing and for those doors to be closed that torment people, and we got to get this forgiveness down. And so, yeah, that was a big part of it. What I had in mind more was growth. You know, I got to thinking about what I saw there and what I experienced, and I think growth fit in there as well, which of course is part of it. If we're getting this forgiveness down more, well, it's in fact growth, and it's in a critical area.
Amen.
So, yeah, I think that's it. That's right.
I agree. Absolutely. I also felt that I saw people, men, manning up. And, you know, and part of manning up is forgiveness and forgiving yourself for not stepping up to the plate when the Lord calls you to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen that a lot going on. I kind of aggravated some of the men and said, hey, I put your name in the hat. And I was surprised. One of them actually went and put his name in the hat and had a good testimony. And so it was good to see. I'm so thankful, you know, of course, for Jesus. You know, we have a wonderful and merciful Lord and Savior. And I'm so thankful that for those who prayed and fasted. You know, not everybody that attended, not everybody could attend, but I believe those that prayed and fasted for the gathering, they also was there. And they're also very important for the attendance and for the leading of the Spirit and the moving of the man. And of course, I'm very thankful for those who attended. It's so good to get together with fellow believers.
Amen. Amen. You know, a theme or a comment, I guess I should say, that we've been hearing for years and that certainly fits is that, you know, you get a battery recharge. You get your batteries recharged when you, you know, people usually comment that after the Branson gathering. And I know we sure do. I mean, it's a long trip out. It's a long trip back. We're still putting books up on the shelf and, you know, putting things back in. And we've got everything back to the church. But it is. And when we get the chance and we take the opportunity to gather with like-minded believers, to step away from the world, because most of us don't have fellowship, you know, all week long with like-minded believers. You know, out here at the Radio Ranch, it's my family and myself out here, and that's it. You know, and it's not that different than you know, any other family that's just kind of out. Leon, like your family, or Nick, like yours. You know, now we get fellowship on Sunday at church, but there's nobody that lives around here. You know, the church is over an hour away. And it's kind of like that for the local church families. You know, John and Jody live over on one side of town. Jason and his family are over on another side. And the other people that attend church are, you know, they're working during the week and just like everybody else, you know, just out gathering more straw and making more bricks. And so it certainly is a blessing for us to be able to gather on Sundays at church and for fellowship. And many times we'll stay after church and, you know, have a fellowship dinner just so that we can get a little bit more of that. And I noticed the same thing at Branson. You know, you hear that, especially after, you know, after the first day or so. The people realize, I think they start to realize what a sweet fellowship it truly is with like-minded believers. You don't have to worry about, you know, offending someone by saying maybe the wrong word. Go ahead, Leon.
Absolutely. Well, I have this quote here, a quote of the day, and I put it on Facebook, and Brother Ralph actually said amen. It says, "I like when I don't have to be careful about what I say. That's how I know I'm with the right people." And you're so right. When we are there, you know, we don't have to be careful about what we say. Out in the world, we can easily choke the Christians, the so-called Christians that are out there, with just water or skim milk. And we have to be very careful, you know, how far we feed them. And so it's so refreshing when we do get together at Branson, we are able to express our opinions without worry and without judgmental coming down on us for maybe saying just a little bit too much. So it is. It's a wonderful time at Branson, and I wouldn't miss it. We plan our yearly vacations on going to Branson. Being with like-minded believers and gathering together, it is a blessed time. I go early and I stay late because I want that extra fellowship.
Sure. Yeah. I think there were several of us that had the opportunity to do that this year, and it is. It's always desirable for us. We do the same thing. That's our vacation. You know, we look forward to that. The children have always looked forward to that, to going and seeing their friends from last year, and it is. And
you know, see the children growing.
Yes. Yes. Now, you know, it was mentioned about growth, and boy, I tell you, one part of the growth is certainly the children. You see these families that, you know, you remember them as little stair steps, just out of diapers and toddling around, and you know, we were talking to two of them this year about baptism next year. Nick, one was your son, and I remember him toddling around. I'm sure you do as well. And in pictures of just being these, you know, gangly little 10 and 12 year olds. And, but thank God above that those gangly 10 and 12 year olds, they grow into young men and young women. And, and they are, you know, doing their best to stay on the straight and narrow and being scripturally and spiritually minded. And, and that was another thing I wanted to mention to the people this morning, is we had baptisms. You know, everybody likes numbers. You know, that we're a number-driven society. Whether it's, you know, I can drink four cups of coffee today, and somebody else says, well, I can drink five. And you know, or, well, we've got this many people or that many people. But, you know, numbers have never been important to God. God was always whittling down numbers. I think of Gideon that had his 10,000. God says, no, that ain't going to work for me. And let's whittle you down a little bit. And then, you know, it's me taking care of it. And but, you know, we had a baptism on Friday there at Branson. We had a baptism on Saturday. We had another one on Sunday. And I think that God just worked it that way. You know, when they came in, had a young man baptized on Friday, that just recently turned 20. And has been, you know, reading his Bible and understands it. And I think the thing that he said to me was, he said, I'm ready to accept that responsibility of being a man.
Yes.
Being a Christian man.
Yeah.
And Leon, I know you've had the opportunity to share some Christian truths with that young man. And that's a good thing. It's encouraging to me to see, you know, that there are the remnant out there, even in this generation, in that generation of just turning 20 year olds now. So like I said, it was encouraging to me. And and then, you know, we kind of went to the other side of the generations, because we had a retired band, retired, K came in and traveled all the way from New Jersey and got baptized on Saturday. And that was certainly a blessed event. The Bible talks about the angels in heaven rejoicing.
Absolutely.
We rejoice with them.
Yes. Yep. And then on Sunday, had another man come in from Ohio, Brother James, and James wanted to make sure he was baptized correctly. And we had a chance to talk, and he serves the Lord. You know, when you look at, we're not to gauge appearances, but you know, James is a working man. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. You know, he's a working man. I tell you what he reminded me of is probably what some of the apostles that were fishermen, when Jesus was walking on the seashore, and he looks over and here are these men that are working men. You know, they're not they're working men. They've got scars and sunburns and lined faces and working hands. You know, I've only had a chance to talk to Brother James a few times before Branson. You know, but I certainly felt a kindred spirit. James is a working man.
Yes.
And
good.
And he wanted to be baptized, we talked. He sure loves the Lord Jesus Christ and knows who he is and calls him friend. And so we did, you men remember, we did things a little different Sunday morning. Everybody was kind of dressed in their Sundays. And about 9:30 Sunday morning, at least about 100 of us, walked out to the outside pool.
Yes.
And beautiful place, and they were half a dozen people out on vacation enjoying the pool on a Sunday morning, and I sure don't I don't fault them for that, you know, James went down and I think Brother Eric or Derek, one of them was baptizing him and made a public profession of faith. And do you remember, men, there was one lady kind of off to the right from where we were standing. And she's standing up. She was shooting a video with one hand and had her hand raised with the other, and a big old grin on her face. You know, it was resonating with her. Did you men see that?
Yes, I did.
There was a couple people different, and they were honoring that.
They were.
And that was really touching to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I. You know, I got to talk to Brother James just a little bit, and I said, you know, we're going to do this out here in front of God and everybody. Because the other baptisms we did in the inside pool, and there were a few people in there, but it's inside a building. But when we talked with James, and I said, you know, it's humbling getting baptized. It's humbling acknowledging to the world that you're a sinner, that you've done wrong, and that you need to repent. It is. But again, it to me, that's always tied in with Christ's crucifixion, because it was sure humbling for him to do that.
Yes.
You know, a lot of symbology there. But James was sure smiling and happy, and it worked out real well. I think it did. And who knows what seeds were planted with those other people that were there on vacation that watched the baptism. And you know, maybe some good seeds were planted. If they're not baptized, if they are, then and they're leading a Christian life, then great. You know, if they're not, maybe that'll be another seed planted, another little pricking from the Holy Spirit for them to get their life right. Maybe to get back to reading the Bible you know, finding out what God's plan for them is.
Yeah, and I kind of think it's like you mentioned, the lady had her hand up and everything. I suspect she was a Christian.
I think so.
She sure seemed to, you know, have the gestures, and it kind of brought to mind years ago, a friend of mine and I were on a fishing trip in Missouri. We were on that little Piney River. Leon knows where that is.
Oh, yeah.
And a group came down. And me and my friend are Christians at the time. But here came a group down by the boat ramp and had a baptism. And, you know, we we took our hats off and prayed with them. You know, even though we were, you know, quite a distance from them.
Sure.
A few other people around, and they all honored that. And I remember that group acknowledging that we respected it too, you
sure.
know. And so, hey, they didn't know why we were there, who we were, or anything, if we were Christians or not. And, you know, so it reminded me of a time like that, that baptism outside. So, yeah, it was good to see. It was really touching to
Amen.
See those people respond in that way.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that might have been me coming down to the river.
Yeah, might have been.
I didn't
huh?
recognize you then.
Oh, might have been.
I've been to a little time, finding several times in some baptisms.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. And you know about those baptisms we did. We got to speak to some of the youth, and we kind of mentioned that earlier. But just to let them know about, you know, the they had a couple questions. Even children raised in this, you know, I guarantee you, my children, you know, they still have questions about baptisms at times, and even grown, you know, as we grow, you know, we get a better understanding of not just baptism, but all the biblical principles. And you know, in 2 Peter 3, toward the end of it here, verse 18 tells us to do that. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to be
yes.
doing. And I like how that was mentioned, growth. And I have to tell you, we got to speak to those three young people, and I think that I know they were able to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We read them some scriptures. They were able to hear it. Now I know they've heard it before, but you know, faith comes by hearing, and I've sure noticed that. I can tell my children something and tell them and tell them and tell them, and then you know, maybe in church and Sunday school or something, John or somebody else will mention something, and it finally clicks, you know. And
yeah.
and what's really good is when they come back to me and say, hey, you know, and mention it. And then it's like, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I've been saying that for 5 years, you know, but at least you finally got it. That's good. And
yeah.
And so I mentioned that. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I mentioned that because I you know, again, Brother Nick, your son was in there, one of your sons, and a couple of young ladies, and you know, they want. I know that one young lady was new to the gathering, and you know, I think she made the comment when I asked her about baptism, and she said, "Well, she said, I don't want him to come back and find me not baptized," is what she said.
That's wonderful.
And I thought, hallelujah, out of the mouth of babes. Here's this, you know, young 18-year-old girl, just graduated high school, beautiful young lady, and you know, doesn't have a full understanding, okay, but she wants to serve the Lord. She wanted to do what was pleasing to God. And, you know, when you have that
Amen.
Heart, I don't think you can go wrong.
No.
But, you know, we had the opportunity to talk to him about what baptism was and what it wasn't. You know, that it wasn't for someone else. That it wasn't a publicity thing. It wasn't because Grandpa wants you to get baptized, or your girlfriend, or somebody else. That it is between you and God, because
yeah.
that's what this scripture is. You know, that's what this Bible is. It's between. This Bible was written for me to read, for me to have understanding, for me to have a relationship with God based on His Word, and you know, that's true for each and every one of us.
It sure is, brother.
And especially for baptism.
Yeah. Sometimes I have a time to talk with other Christians, and they like to talk about their feelings. And I always remind them, if your feelings do not line up with the Word of God, you best go with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And yes, the Word of God is our instruction manual. It is our love letter from the Creator
Amen.
Of the heaven and earth. Who loved us so much, you know, not only did he give us his word, his instruction manual, but he came down here and dwelt among us. And he stood between us and that wrath of God. You know, and he took what we deserved on that cross We deserve that pain. We deserve that rejection. We deserve that death. But our wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, took it for us.
Amen. Amen. So that was very encouraging to me. And it seems like over the last few months, I guess maybe I've needed encouragement in that area for these next generations coming up, you know, to see that all is not lost, that God still has His remnant in every generation. He truly does.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've still got it. I don't think I do. I had a quote about that very thing, about generations, and it was a C.S. Lewis quote or something like that, but it basically talked about that each generation has to, you know, carry their, not really burden, but prove the point, you know, carry the word of Christ, carry the blessings of the gospel, the instructions of the gospel to their generation. You know, it's what has to happen.
Yes, and what I see happening out there is we've had two or three generations at least that hasn't been doing the job. My grandpa used to always tell me, hey, don't rock the boat. Well, when everybody's always on the left-hand side of the boat and you try to get on the right side of the boat, you're not trying to rock the boat, you're trying to keep it afloat.
Amen. Amen.
Straighten it out.
That's right. And you know, we need to, if it's going wrong, well, we need to rock the boat, you know. In our Bible reading plan, we're in Nehemiah this week, and boy, when you read through Nehemiah, you know, this is when some of the exiles return to Jerusalem and they're wanting to rebuild the wall, and you know, they read the law and they return to God and His law, and you know, they stop charging usury and they start observing the Sabbath and just all kind, and they confess their sins.
Yes.
And you know, I encourage you folks, you know, if nothing else, maybe you think you don't have time to read your Bible, I'm not going to get into that, but read Nehemiah and see if it's not you know, I mean, more and more this applies to us. At the very beginning, it says they come and they said to me in Nehemiah 1:3, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. You know, that's how our people are today. Many of our people are in great distress and reproach because they don't know who they are. Like you said, Leon, there it might be third generation, third or fourth generation through here of the generations that haven't done what they're supposed to do, and that have forgotten God and forgotten His law, just like the people in this day were, just like the people in Nehemiah's day were. That's happened here with us again. And you know, His word is true. And what is it, Hosea 4:6? You forget my law, I'll forget your children. And so
we see that more and more today.
We absolutely do. But it's not permanent. It's because as a people, his people who are called by His name. Guess what His name is? Jesus Christ. Guess what the people by His that are called by His name are called? Christians.
Christians.
But they call themselves Christians because Mom was, Dad was, or Aunt Lucy was, you know, but they don't know Him. It's just like in Nehemiah's day. They don't know Him. They don't. When they read the law, which is His word, which would be, I think, today equivalent of reading His word, they were pierced to the heart and they cried out because they finally realized that, you know, they had not been doing what they were supposed to be doing. But when they repented, when they repented and they cried out to Him and they began to have understanding. You know, they make an agreement in writing and they sign the document and they said, we will keep and observe all the commandments of God our Lord and His ordinances and His statutes. And then they go on and they pulled themselves away from the foreigners and the foreign ways. You know, and I don't know today that we could pull ourselves away from the foreigners as much as they could then. But what we can do as a people is we can pull ourselves away from the foreign ways. We can stop worshiping foreign gods. We can stop dressing like the foreigners. We can stop talking like the foreigners. We can stop acting like the foreigners. And we can start acting, like you said, manning up and acting like Christian men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
will
create a natural separation anyway. It's just like Jesus said, that I came with a sword, and I'll separate mother and daughter and mother-in-law and daughter-in-law and all this.
If that's what it takes.
To me, that means when we get closer to God and do that Christian walk the way we're supposed to, there's a natural separation that occurs. I'm sure both of you have lived that out quite a bit. People know where you stand, and even recognize that spiritually, and those enemies and those strangers, they'll just stay away from you. You know, so I believe that separation occurs the closer we get to our walk, especially if they're male worshipers themselves. That natural separation will occur. It even occurs in our own families, just like Jesus said.
Yeah, so true. And speaking of that, when I look at what's been going on in the world, you know, for generations and generations, they've been attacking the man of the house.
Yes.
They've been belittling the man. They've been cutting them down. They have been destroying the homes by going against the man, getting the man more interested in drugs, alcohol, television, pornographic material. You know, they have a war, and they started with the war against the man to get rid of the strong man is what they want, the strong man. We are never as strong as we are when we are in the Lord.
Amen.
You can take a man full of muscles. He's nothing compared to that wimpy man who's a man in the Lord.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to talk to a brother-in-law, and I probably told you guys this story, but I'll just kind of quickly go over it. His daughter was involved with drugs. His son was effeminate, and he asked me to come over and till his garden. Of course, he came out and talked to me when I was tilling his garden, so I had an opportunity to tell him the truth. You know, the world will tell him, hey, it's not your fault that your children are turning out this way. But I told him, I said, seeing the way your children are turning out is seeing the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfilling of the Word of God.
Yes.
So the Word says, when we forsake the law of the Lord our God, He will forsake our children. I said, you are seeing this today happening in your very family. I said, and when you sow unrighteousness, you are going to reap unrighteousness. So I was trying to plant the Word into him, plant that seed that the world will not tell him. The world will will have him believing that it's everybody else's fault, except in reality, the truth is, it's his fault, because he has not stepped up and become the man of his household.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so many, don't you see, Leon, so many of our people, they just don't know. You know, it's been generational this way, like it was in the days of Nehemiah. They had forgotten. They had forgotten the law of their God because it hadn't been taught. It hadn't been taught. And that was why, of course, they were in exile. Why they had been dispersed was because of their sin, but they didn't know it anymore. They didn't know because of all the foreigners that had come in. You know, they had a language immersion in kindergarten, like they're starting in Laramie this next school year. You know, dual language immersion, and we have to, you know, we have to honor the sacred Canaanite then, and the Ammonite, and the Amalekite, and all. And that's what they did. Was they had all the they had become so multiracial and multilingual and multicultural that every other culture and small g God was exalted above the true God. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, and finally, they finally found the law. They finally read the Word. And, you know, some of them repented and returned. And that is what is needed today. And you know, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do as men, as Christian men. We, just like you did with your brother-in-law, Leon, we put the word out. Here's the word. Guess what? You know, and we can do it with love, but the word is the word. You know, it really is. You know, there's... in Corinthians, it says that, you know, those that practice filthy things, those that that do things that are sins and continue in them, they do not enter into the kingdom of God. You know? And Jesus Christ himself said that, you know, he will say to those that that claim him, there will be some that he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Well, lawlessness is sin. You know, apparently the Sunday we wrapped up in Branson, there was a shooting down in Denver. They say 49 people were killed. And the way the media presents
Orlando.
And the way the media presents it is that they were homosexuals at a homosexual nightclub celebrating Gay Pride Week, which is a death style. Now, that's lawlessness. It's sin. Now, it can be repented of, and there in Corinthians it says, do you not know that, you know, fornicators and the homosexuals and the liars and the adulterers, and it gives a list. It's not an inclusive list, but it kind of hits the highlights, that these people do not enter the kingdom. But it says, "But and such were some of you, and such were some of us, but we were washed, we repented, we turned from that. And we stopped sinning in those ways, and we turned to God. And so, and then when you do, you know, yeah, you believe his word, you obey his word, well, then you can be forgiven.
Yeah.
Well, those 49 or 50, it sure seems looking on at the onset, that they died in their sin. Does that seem accurate?
Yes, it does.
And you know, when you die in your sin... The scripture verses that says the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
Now, I don't pass judgment on those people. I don't have to. The Word does. And that's what Jesus Christ himself said. He said, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. But he said, but my Word judges. And there is a distinction there. You know, Christ did come to save the world. You know, the parable that he found his treasure. And he went and buried it in a field. And then he sold everything he had to buy the whole field with his treasure in the middle of it, hidden in the middle of it. And you know, that's the gospel story. That, yeah, Jesus said, I came, I only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his treasure that's in the field. The field is the world. But he gave his life, certainly for his treasure, but for the world. You know, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so,
amen.
You know, it is. We are to be, you know, of Abraham's seed, we are to be a blessing to the whole world. And preach repentance. That's the Great Commission. Preach the gospel, repentance. And you know, those who believe and have been baptized will be saved. Well, you know what? Those 49 that were killed down there in Orlando, based on their lifestyle and their actions, did not believe the word. At least they weren't living it, because if they believed it, they didn't lead a lifestyle that showed they believed the word. They were not doers of the word. Maybe they were hearers, but they certainly weren't doers. And they were in sin, and they died in that sin. And you know, the Bible talks about it as a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And sin angers God. You know, and so we continue on to put this word out, to put the truth of the gospel out. Repent or perish. Now, those down there apparently didn't repent, and they died in their sin. But you know, that repent or perish applies to me. It applies to you men. It applies to all of us.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, but it's good news. We don't have to be, you know, this multicultural, the world puts it out that it just gets better and better, and it just gets worse and worse in all actuality.
Yeah.
But it does get better with Christ. It does get better when we return to Him, when we confess our sins, when it got better for those in Nehemiah's day. Read it. That's why we have these scriptures. You know, that's why we encourage the Bible reading. It's because it's good news. It's good news. It really is.
Absolutely. Yeah, you read that story, just like you said, in Nehemiah and what all took place, that rebuilding and coming back to God the right way.
Yes.
It could be written about us right now. It really has all the parallels that we're living out today. And another thing, when Leon was, is that your brother-in-law you said you were, that you talked to? The world would perceive that as the way you spoke to him as too harsh or not loving. It was exactly the opposite.
Yes.
You loved him enough.
Yes, I had an opportunity
to wake him up.
Yeah, the world looks at it. The world would call that hate speech. But you pointed it out, Nick. Yeah. It's not hate speech. It's love speech.
Absolutely.
It's words of love.
Yes, it is. Yeah, he cared enough to just tell him the truth flat out, and that's a man talking to another man. He should be able to take that. And we had a man get up and have a personal in his life, took a rebuke from another wise man, and a lot of men maybe got angry over that. He didn't. He took it and used it for good, and it may very well have saved a life in that case, and probably did. And because he took that rebuke like a wise man, and then on it, it worked out for good.
Yeah, and you know, we can't forget about prayer. You know, the Lord really put it on my heart that I needed to speak to him the truth. So I started praying. You know, I think part of putting on the full armor of God, of course, we've learned, is the speak for the gospel of peace. Lord, lead me where you want me to go. Put your words in my mouth and open up the ears of the people.
Yes.
So I had many, many moments there of prayer, waiting for him to show up as I was tilling this garden. And I knew when he got there, I felt the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, that Holy Spirit just says, you know, sometimes when it's speaking to you, there's, you will regret it for years if you don't listen and do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. I had an opportunity to share with him and share a baptism to him. He made mention about the Lutheran Church. I said, read your Bible.
Right.
Read your Bible. Or go read some readings from Martin Luther. You know, he was a very important Christian man for the early Christian church. And I think one of the main things, and he took it very well, and he responded very well. Now, I don't know how it's gone any further than that. I don't know. The Lord knows. My job was to tell him the truth and to plant the seed. And the Lord causes it to grow. And make sure I anoint it with prayer, and the Lord will cause it to grow. I knew that he was kind of a tight pickle because I wasn't done tilling his garden yet. And since it was my tractor and my roller tiller, he just had to stay in there for a few minutes as I gave him a little sermon.
Amen.
Well, you know, and that ties in with, of course, I was thinking on a few things to mention this morning, and one thing I thought on yesterday was, you know, your garden story kind of ties right in with it. We've got two big... I taught the children this principle about a seed in the ground.
Yes.
And like you said, there's a lot to do with timing. That ground's got to be... got to have some moisture. But one thing is, when we have these... you can look at it as a harder thing and maybe bad, but the blessing that comes out of it is that taproot just goes deeper looking for moisture. And when that seed does sprout, it's much stronger.
Yes.
It can withstand the storm better. And one of my sons, he wanted to plant some popcorn. Last year, we didn't get it done. So, water those seeds when we put them in.
Yeah, the
so they root shallow and they'll be weaker later on, and got to share with the young ones, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it just me? Is Brother Nick fading in and out?
Yeah, Nick, I don't know if you're driving or, but it's.
No, I'm standing in front of the house.
Oh.
I'm on my cell phone and we. It goes in and out.
Yeah,
I'm here. The leaves get on, and sometimes I don't have good.
Oh, that's right. I think we got the gist of it. That yeah, we do. We have to plant those seeds, and that was. I got to share that with a couple different people in Branson. That very thing, you know, pointing to the big old. They had some beautiful. I don't know if they were oaks or something, elms or big shade trees, you know, all around.
Uh-huh.
And I got to mention that, you know, we don't plant mighty oaks. You know, we don't plant big shade trees full grown. We plant seeds. We plant acorns, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and it takes time. Certainly some things grow faster than other. And like you mentioned, Nick, some, you know, the depending on the soil and the time of the year, and the moisture and all that, some grow quicker and faster and better with some than others. And it's certainly like that with spreading the word. But we continue to spread the word. You know, I grew up always hearing about Johnny Appleseed, you know, the old American legend, you know, walking across the country barefoot, spreading apple seeds. And I've got to look some more into that, because I've heard other things that he was tossing apple seeds with one hand and he had a Bible in the other hand, and I tend to believe that, there's certainly a lot of symbology and probably some parables in there, in that term of Johnny Appleseed of spreading those seeds around. And and that's what we do. You know, that's what Christ did. He went and he preached the word. He didn't have to defend the word. It was just truth. And he just put it out. And, you know, we do need to listen and heed that leading of the Holy Spirit when it leads us in that way to do that very thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
You hear me okay?
Well, guys, we're kind of wrapping down. Just a few more minutes. Leon, you got anything last couple minutes here to wrap up with? Or?
Yeah, one more thought, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Tomorrow is what the world calls Father's Day.
Yes.
Of course, we know every day is a Heavenly Father's Day.
Yeah.
But I came home the other day with my motorcycle, and I noticed coming up the driveway that my garage door was open, and usually it's not, so I have to get off the motorcycle, open the door, and then drive the motorcycle in. So I went ahead and drove my motorcycle in, and I was very, very pleased with an early Dad's Day present. My 17-year-old daughter had went out and cleaned my entire shop.
Oh, wow.
2 hours. She, and not talking about that seed that's been planted, growing. You're just talking about that. 2 hours she was out there, and this isn't the cool of the year. It was over 100 degrees in there, and she moved everything. She swept everything. And what a blessing that is, you know, to come home and to see that.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And one thing, if we could, Richard, read Psalms 91, since it's Soldier Sabbath today.
Sure. Sure. I got it right here in front of me, as a matter of fact, so why don't we do that? I'll read it if that's all right with you guys. And it is the warrior psalm. And it's he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation.
Amen.
That is good news, folks. That is good news. If you're not familiar with that 91st Psalm, folks, tuning in, if you're not familiar with the good news of Jesus Christ, then I encourage you, contact us, and we'll do our best to introduce you to this Son of God, to this that you can call friend. Our address, folks, if you want to write as we're wrapping up this morning, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. It'll be Father's Day, and maybe we'll have a note or two about that. It's a good thing to recognize. I think it is. We are to honor our mother and our father, and if that's something that we can remember to do, that's okay. That is a good
Absolutely.
Thing. You can join us at church at scripturesforamerica.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And we'll do our best to have the church service there. And like I said, we got everything hooked back up from Branson. And hopefully it all works. So be praying for us. Well, guys, thanks again. Nick and Leon, thank you, brothers, for getting up and taking time out of your busy day to join us. Hope you guys have a blessed rest of the day and a blessed Sabbath and 91st day, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, brother.
God bless. We'll go out with a Clint Miller song. I like Clint Miller songs, and if you like his music, you can get it at Clint. I think it's ClintMiller.com, or maybe Clint Miller Music. Thanks a lot.
Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Wax melt before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. the wicked perish in the presence of God. So let the wicked perish in the presence of God.